Let's go.
Yeah.
Bro, this is like...
This is kind of crazy that Rob is on Untriggered. Like,
yeah.
I'm happy to be here, man.
No, we've always wanted to do this. Like,
yeah.
There is a document that we have of all the lists that we want.
Mm.
And there is one section. So there's sections like actors, artists, musicians. This, and there's one section, cool people we want to talk to.
Yeah.
Your name is there. Awesome. So I'll send you a screenshot after this.
Awesome. I completely forgot about the cool people we want to talk to. Because I used to mock it. I'd be like, what is this cool people we want to talk to? We need to categorize
but
it.
I was so happy I was part of that list.
Yeah.
No, man, but you were someone who made art cool. Like, oh, it's not, man. When we were kids growing up, art wasn't the cool thing to do. It was maybe sport or it was like dance maybe. Art was never a thing that we thought was, okay, this is... Like, there's something really cool. That was insane.
Yeah, you know, I mean, growing up, that was my problem too. It was never cool. Like, if like in school, it was the same thing that you know, we had a period or two that you would dedicate to art or craft, and the teachers would do the same thing again and again.
Yeah. Even the maths teacher would come to finish the portion.
Yeah. Like, portion is
no respect, dude. So I get so respect in this.
Forget about the art, like, let's do math.
Yeah. So when I got an opportunity to, you know, create this show, I was like, I have to make it cool, yaar. And I also wanted to do everything that I had sort of, you know, over the years. Like I said, if you go to a hobby class, it's the same, like, you draw that painting with mountains and house.
Or scenery.
Pick up like some, scenery. Or pick up some like trash and make like a wall hanging.
Mm.
I said, I'm never doing a wall hanging and I'm never doing a painting with mountains and a boat and a sun.
Yeah.
So I wanted to do like cool stuff. And also, I think, you know, back in the days, we didn't have, like, at least my time, we didn't have that many sort of resources. Yeah. Like, there was no internet, you know, so we didn't know what to make.
Yeah.
There were cool things happening, like, in terms of animation and stuff. But ek to thoda limited tha, like, you would get it only on Sundays, like, you know, and the toys and figurines that we would get in India was super expensive.
Yeah.
Hota tha, kisi ka friend ya uncle went to like US and got them like one, oh, this is G.I. Joe figurines or He-Man or this whole castle and stuff. So for most of us, it was like, now I don't have that, but what can I do? Just say ki I also have the same cool shit at home.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll make it.
Yeah.
You know, with the things lying around in the house, whether it's cardboard boxes or like bottles or.
Yeah.
So on the show, I try to do that a lot. Pick up stuff around you and create art out of that.
Yeah.
And that sort of became like the signature, you know, like style of mine. Ki abhi kuch twist aayega, isko leke ye kuch banayega. And it also became cool. Everyone enjoyed it because it was like, ha, ye sab to hai mere paas. So there is no excuse. Abhi main bhi bana sakta hun types.
No, bro. That is where your... Every time I would sit down to watch an episode of Matt, there would be one item
that is missing
at home. And... like, now you watch YouTube videos, you pause, you rewind. When you did it, it just went, bro.
Yeah, like, because it was so like a live show, TV
you
show.
You couldn't rewind it, you couldn't go back. So if it's gone, it's gone. I'm just sitting there like, arre, yeah.
But I used to have, like, I introduced like a sort of like a recap of what we have done.
Yeah.
So that if you missed out on some steps.
Yeah.
I wanted to make it more elaborate. And but, you know, like, it's television. They also wanted reruns.
I know. Like,
yeah.
So they said, no, you can't give everything in one episode. Then they won't watch it again.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I understand.
Also, because of the time constraint, I'm assuming it was very fast paced.
Yeah.
So you would like do one thing and be like, okay, I've already made all this stuff. And I'm sitting
so now,
no,
where am I
going
to make all of this stuff?
Yeah, like
that
now
was also because it used to take a lot of time, you know, to like if I'm sticking something, it will take 24 hours, you know, to dry or painting something, it'll take 4 hours. Initially, it wasn't like that. When I started, you know, like season one or two was when I was doing it real time. So if I painted something or if I've applied glue and it's sticking, then it's a break. Like the whole crew is just sitting. Then only I'll put another layer.
Yeah.
So then to make that process faster, we introduced this sort of break it down, like the steps of the project and keep some stages ready.
Yeah.
So if I say, okay, I've painted this or I've applied glue, to abhi ye sook ke ready hai, you know, then I would bring that in. So it was obviously jumping a step, but you know, like shoot time was like quicker and faster. And then the crew was not just sitting and you weren't wasting time like on extra shift and money on extra shift because that money I could use to do other stuff.
Yeah.
How much of it would you do? Like all of it, like whatever you were making, pura?
Pura.
Like you would put the aluminum foil in the box.
Everything.
Everything. So the thing was, the like I said, the season one and two, I was doing everything, okay, even the stages.
Yeah.
But then when we realized that because we need more stages and we need to go bigger, because every season you want to show more, okay, we have made 15 feet, next month 35 feet. Then obviously I needed help, because you can't do everything physically alone. Like if I have to make stages for each activity or each project that I'm doing, then it would take like a long time. So then I was lucky to have like a team of artists working with me. So they were like fresh out of art college. They joined, like, you know, how you have interns working for the time.
Right.
So we made like a small team. Then I would sit down with them, explain to them, this is the idea. I would make one prototype. Also, we used to make everything beforehand to understand how much time it's going to take, you know, whether the project will fail or will be successful, or lighting also. Yeah. Sometimes I would go and my DOP will be like, what the hell? Like, I'm going to, this is going to like blow up on. I was looking, the, why did you choose this color, or this will jitter, you should have not put like this cloth on it, or you know, with pattern. So things like that. So I used to always have like a prototype ready that they would check, approve, and then we would sit with the team and then I would tell them, these are the steps, we'll break it down. Iska hame char step banana, iska hame do step banana, iska. Then it was like a little lab of sorts. I would spend time with them, make the stuff. And
did the team ever like mess up and like ruin an episode?
Yeah,
and, like,
a lot.
How many episodes have you all like art lost students in this?
A lot.
This is why you're just a student.
No. And then one time, two of my boys, which I didn't know, I found out like watching TV. Okay. I was watching one Marathi channel. And suddenly I see like one DIY segment on that. And it started with like the top shot of the hands making it. And I had a very, like, I still have like a very distinct style of making clouds for certain figures. And I saw like on that, the clouds had the same shape. And I was like, wow, this guy is like fully trying to copy my style. I mean, it's flattery also, like if they're copying your. And then cut to, they show two guys hosting the show. And they were my boys, So they had taken like, so for a season, I would plan like different ideas, right? Yeah. And we would get approvals on that. So there was like one, these are what we are doing, and like one NG.
Yeah.
Not good. So they had taken some ideas from there and they started their own show.
Damn.
On a Marathi channel. Yeah.
These kids are
hustling. So I called them.
Was the
like,
show. Damn. Hey,
this is you, right? And then it said, ah, Rob, batane wale the hum.
After its head and everything.
Exactly. And not like one episode that they were invited. No, it's like a show,
yeah.
Or part of a show, like a segment on a show.
Snitches.
And I said, okay, I mean, you can. I'm not going to stop you, but you should.
Those ideas were not good.
But so. That show is just, you can't replicate that show. Like, if there were other art shows. I remember I used to watch Art Attack, which was Art also Attack, pretty, like, it was a very different vibe altogether. Matt was like it wasn't just art also. Matt, I think, stands for music, art, dance.
Yeah.
So like even the background music that was used during the show, even like those intro and outro segments,
transitions with the, and all,
with the music, like at that time, I don't think any of us had heard music like that. So it was introducing us to new styles of music or even dance, like, which is, I think people don't remember those parts. They just remember the like big stuff that you did. So like, I don't think there were any other shows who were as focused on all the close art to forms.
True. I think like Art Attack was just like an art show that was teaching kids to be more creative.
Yeah.
But we also focused on, you know, like Mad was a thematic. Like every episode was a new theme. Like I would pick up animation or photography or printmaking or sculpture. So we were like really covering like each subject.
Yeah.
You know, so to speak. Like if you want to be an animator, I would show you how to make a flip book.
Yeah.
Like an easy thing. Then I'll show you how stop motion animation is done. Then I'll show you how 3D is done. Or, you know, so slowly it like sort of progressed to starting from easy to hard. And then the big picture I made like those larger than like, that will be like a slightly more aspirational kind of, like, this is what you can do if you learn
everything.
So it was like that. And that was a big sort of differentiator between Mad and any other art show. But yes, I was also very lucky, you know, to have such an amazing team of people working on the show. Like all the opening of the show and the music and also our head office was in Hong Kong. So I even had like some people from that team working on the look and feel of the show or the music and things.
You can just tell that that show was made with a lot of love.
Yeah.
Like it was.
And a lot of thought that went into. Like even that opening scene of like the intro was just like whatever, like 15 to 30 seconds. But the set that we made, like we had giant letters, like M was probably as big as the room, like 10 to 20 feet big. And I was throwing paint on it, Jackson Pollock style. Like, and then covering the whole thing. Whole cameras are capturing that in like time lapse. And so spending so much money and time to create something like that. But everyone knew that it's going to make a big impact. You know, it's not just the opening where you can do the titles on like the computer.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But when you go all out, it definitely leaves a bigger impact.
No, you could see the effort that's gone into the show. And it was like for us, it wasn't a mindless watch.
Yeah.
Mm. Like a bunch of the stuff that we used to watch as kids was just mindless. Like it's happening on TV and you're sitting there. You can think about it. You're just looking at it. With this show, we were thinking about.
Yeah.
And it, your personality also came across. That's why you've become this like iconic figure. You know, like when people now also like in Bangalore, we were there. Everyone was just like, hey.
Yeah.
Like you've become. Whereas with the other art shows, I don't remember. Like I remember the bits of it, but I don't remember the person. Like
Because you know, again, going back to like the amazing team I had, the people who were instrumental in making the show, they were cool with everything. Like I don't know if I was telling you guys when I met you earlier that when I met the people at Pogo, I was dressed exactly like how I dress up on a regular day. My oversized clothes and a bandana, long hair. I had piercings all over. And the max they told me was that, you know, you'll have to remove your eyebrow piercings and stuff because it's a kid show. But they didn't ask me to shave or remove all the other stuff like that. I
or change
that
your was tone just me.
Yeah,
like,
or change your personality in a way. Because all the other hosts on kid show, if you see, they're all like, they don't have facial hair because they need to look young. So the guy who hosted Art Attack is also like my friend, my junior from the same design school. Yeah. That also happened.
The, Indian, like, the Indian Art Attack?
The Indian
Art Attack.
I remember once the first...
Neil.
Neil.
The international, So once I started doing Mad, like a whole line of like, there were more shows and like all people from my design used to became like presenters. So like a whole new sort of job profile now. You complete your design course and become like a TV presenter. No, so he was a really cool guy. I mean, he also had like dreadlocks and stuff. But when he was put on air, they asked him to cut his hair. And he had like short hair, clean shaven. So like now he was a completely different person. He did it really well, but in a way, like, he looks like just any other guy. You know, they really took that out of him. So I was lucky that they didn't ask me to change anything about my personality or my overall look.
But that was good because, like, for us, it felt like, okay, this, like, cool older dude is talking.
Yeah.
To us. He's not pretending to be like, oh, kids correct, now.
Correct.
Like, we were like, okay, this we can take him seriously and he's talking to us. And he's not pretending.
He's actually trying to teach us how to do things. Like not
he's
just
not making his voice soft. Because after a while, when you grow up, you see through that also. Kids aren't stupid.
And you can't do it for that long, if you're just pretending to be someone else. After a point, it will show. But you know, and that was another thing. Like when we were writing, so there was like there was a script writer, but that was just like for the opening and closing bit, so that there is like a narrative of sorts. But otherwise, like everything that I was doing and saying was coming from me. So it had to come from like an honest place. It had to come from me. Otherwise, wo work nahi karta, right? And my thing was that if I'm talking to kids, I don't want to it to be like, I am just like your father or your teacher or, you know, like I'm your art teacher. People call me, oh, you're my first art teacher. But I was not trying to be that. So even when I was teaching, it wasn't like, I'm going to show you this. These are the steps you have to follow. It was just like, hey, I'm having a lot of fun making this. You have the things, you know, that you need for this project lying around. You didn't have half the stuff.
I feel none of us had half the stuff.
But another thing, you know, like every time I did something and I introduced a new material, I made sure like if I'm making something out of cement or plaster of Paris, I made sure that...
You'd announce it.
Yeah, I do more projects.
Yeah.
with that same material.
Okay, if you've gotten it, you can use
it. Otherwise, you are buying a whole bag and then you do a small project and just lying there.
Yeah.
You know. So I made sure that, okay, we have used cement. Now, how do I make three more things in the new episodes or like after an episode or two so that they can use the same material? So over time. So if you buy it, then it'll come.
Bro, I think the problem is us, not you. Yeah. Like I wouldn't even buy a geometry box until I've like
really needed exam week.
Until night before night the exam before. Where the shops have already shut.
That's why you're learning how to use that.
And your dad is yelling at you like, din pehle nahi pata sakta tha kya kya kar raha hai bhai tu, what the fuck's wrong with you?
You're not serious about your studies.
Chup hai gaya tere ko.
But like, so you did the show and I'm assuming you got like really popular after the show.
Yeah, I beat Noddy. I beat like,
Noddy? Noddy? Oswald?
Yeah.
God damn.
Come on, bro. I was living.
You have a living legend with us.
Yeah. But also, your time slot was really good. Because I don't remember missing an
Prime,
episode.
Was it like 7:38?
No, it was. The original timing of the show was, I think, 10. And then they played around. Sometimes it was at 7:30, sometimes it was at 12, sometimes all day. Yeah. After a point, it was all day.
Yeah, all day.
Because we just
because it was doing so well. But yeah, like it did really well. I didn't know that it will do so well. So I remember like the first season when they were looking at like TRP and stuff and how well the show is doing. The executive producer at that time, Jules, he called me and this is what he said. He called me and said, "Hey, Rob." I said, "Yeah." And he was a British guy. I said, "You beat Noddy." And I was like, "What?" He said, "You beat Noddy." And I didn't get it. Then he said, "You beat Noddy in like ratings and all. Your show is doing better than that." And that was like doing really well. Noddy, Oswald were like, like at the top.
Yes.
No other show could touch. And then Matt started doing better than that. And slowly even the channel realized then, they changed everything. So we used to have like an event, on-ground event called Fun Day Out. And it became Mad Carnival.
Oof.
You know, we had started having like mad classes, summer camps. So there was a lot of, a lot of stuff happening, which was extension of the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was doing well.
Yeah, I mean,
but I found out a little later when I did it, because also, yeah, I had no experience, you know, to be in front of the camera or make or create a show like that. So I didn't know, like it was a big risk, you know, like a gamble. I thought, chal gaya toh theek hai, otherwise they're paying me really well, you know, I'll get back to animation and what I was doing.
How old were you when the show took off?
I'm 26.
Oh.
So like, like prime.
Yeah, yeah.
Your prime.
I was right out of my design school. Huh. I started working with an animation studio in Bombay. Oops, sorry.
Yeah.
And
how did you land this job though?
It was a very weird story. My studio was, now you guys know Bombay well.
Yeah.
Kind of.
So my studio was in Borivali.
Okay.
So you know it's called like far out.
Yeah.
And all my friends who were working with other channels or studios were all like in Bandra, you know, all around that.
Hmm.
And Bandra and Colaba were like the cool places, cool hangouts.
Yeah.
So after work, whenever people wanted to hang out, it was like, chalo, we are meeting at Toto's or we are meeting at Mondi's or we meet.
Mm.
For me, it was like taking a train,
which
was like, you know, a task.
It's like a different city almost.
Yeah. Like carry your passport, you know, down, immigration, all of that. So I could make it to all these like get-togethers and I was like, damn, man. So what I did was I started inviting people over and I was like, I had like my own pad. I said, everything is there. You come, you hang, food, alcohol, music, everything is taken care of. We'll chill.
Mm.
And you can crash also at my place.
Yeah.
So slowly people started doing that. And then I was happy and so were there because, you know, you could party till whatever time you wanted to. So then in one of those parties, someone said, hey, so I used to also call people from work. So one guy said, I have a friend and he was planning to come visit me. And since I'm coming to hang with you, can I call him over?
Yeah.
I said, sure, it's open to all. Yeah, you can call whoever you want. And that person came and with my friends, I am like the life of the party. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making drinks. I'm playing music. I'm doing whatever.
Cheers.
Exactly. Cheers. So he came and he saw me. And I was extra chatty. I was, I don't know, cracking some jokes and all. So I said, you know, a friend of mine, she's looking for people, artists. They're creating a show and you have such a fun personality and whatever, you should go. And I have, my work was like this, put up on the walls and posters and all the art I'd done. Why don't you go meet her? I said, sure, you give me the number. Took the number down, whatever, I didn't call, forgot. So then I got a call from the same number and this person said, why don't you come and meet?
Yeah.
And this was my senior from my design school.
Okay.
Everything is run by that design school.
Yeah.
Your education.
Yeah, I was very lucky because NID is like there are more, but it was the only design school at that time. So everyone who came and was in the film industry or television,
from
NID with your seniors or whatever. So it was also easier to sort of connect with them. A lot of MTV, Channel V, cool stuff that was coming out, you know, was all my NID seniors making that stuff. So yeah, so she spoke to me and then she said, we are looking for people, why don't you come meet? And I went there with my portfolio and I showed everything. But then she was there and Jules was there and they said, you'll also have to give an audition. I said, for what? They said, because, you know, they need someone to be in front of the camera. I said, okay. So I had a chat and I left. I didn't call them back because I was like, no way I can be on camera. Like, so they called me back again and they said, come and, you know, we just want to meet. And it's easy. There are just 4 or 5 lines. And the senior of mine, Sonal, she was like, come, I'm there. I'll help you out. Don't worry. And Jules really liked your work. And so I said, okay, I'll come. And the auditions were happening at Famous Studios.
Yeah.
Mm. I went there and there were so many people. Yeah. Like, and a lot of like models, actors, a lot of people that I later saw became VJs, you know. Mm-hmm. So everyone was really good on camera, good with the lines, and I was like, I don't think I can do this. They gave me like a set of lines.
But you knew this was for a show that's going on Pogo, or you just went in blind thinking,
I discussed with them. So they said, we are going to create a show which will revolve around art. I didn't know anything else. No format discussed.
Did you know it was going to be a kids show?
Yeah. Okay. Pogo was like a kids channel. Okay. I knew that, but I was okay because a lot of animated content that I was designing at that time was for kids.
Yeah.
You know, even at that time, with the studio I was working, we had done the whole animation package, packaging for another channel called Hangama. So all their channel IDs and, you know, like their music video and everything was animated and we had done it. So I was okay with that. Because initially I thought it's just designing stuff. You know, I wasn't like, I'll have to be, I said, I can design for kids. I'm great with kids. So then, so coming back to the audition, I freaked out. Like, I was like, no way. She said, just try. I was reading the lines and I was like, I won't remember anything. If I go stand in front of the camera, I won't. Like, I'll blank out. So she was like, what do you want to do? You know, we really want you to. So I said, okay, why don't you give me a day or two? I'll write my own script and I'll come back. Yeah, so I was like, at least if the lines are coming from me, it'll be easier to remember.
Yeah.
And I was also thinking, I'm asking like, this is too much. Yeah, like, give me 2 days, I'll come back. They might just say, fuck off, like, you know, he's acting too pricey, whatever. We have so many people and they'll find something in 2 days, someone in 2 days.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. The auditions were still going on and they said, come.
Yeah.
So lucky for me, I had a guy, both of us, we sat down. He was also a friend from animation space only. We sat down and we wrote something which I thought will work for the kids space. A bit of that also I picked up from the last film I had done, which was also animated film that I had done. So I took that and wrote like a loose script of what I'm going to do, carried few things with me. And because I used to do a lot of stop motion animation, I made these little puppets out of thermocol. And it was more like, you know, how you see Sesame Street or something. The puppets are also talking and there's an actual person. So little live action, little puppet. So I did all of that with like my lines and I presented and I was just doing my bit and jumping around and whatever. And by the end of it, like I went and Jules was sitting there for that audition. And most of it was English because they said the show is going to be in. So he said, I didn't understand what you said, but I really like what you were doing. So we'll get in touch with you. So I said, okay. And I was waiting outside with Sonal. And I think by that end of that day, he said, I want to speak to you. We'll go somewhere. We'll have a drink and we'll have a chat. And he told me that I was shortlisted. And there was another girl shortlisted with me. And I met that girl and she was very bubbly. So I was like, perfect. Like, she can do the talking and, you know, I can make.
Is that what you thought?
but she didn't join.
Are.
She didn't join. And I was still unsure, yeah, but I think Jules knew exactly how to, like, make me say yes. Because he sat down and he offered me alcohol.
Yeah. That's how they close these deals, man. They just
after a few beers, everything looks like rosy and beautiful. That you'll have your own show and imagine your parents, you know, they'll be so happy. Yeah. You'll be making good money and whatever. And I was like, okay, man, let's do this.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, the way it also came together, it's just like, it's one of those things that was like meant for you.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even with the audition. But then when you did your thing, you were like, listen, this is my show. You know, like, this is how we are going to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't think of it that way at the time, but you were like, I'll write my own lines and I'll do my own thing.
No, I'm very lucky. I'm very blessed like that.
Yeah.
Because we did shoot some 4 or 5 episodes and a pilot that didn't make it to the air.
Mm.
Because for that, they had a scriptwriter. They had these costumes that they had given us.
Yeah.
So from that, you can wear whatever. It became like, no, for the opening and closing of the show, they had these big trench coats with polka dot. It's almost like Willy Wonka type.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, but why am I wearing all of this? They said, no, you have to. And they had like proper scripted lines and things like that. It didn't work.
Yeah. Mm.
Like everyone sat down and they looked at it and said, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm so glad you're saying that because it didn't work for me also.
Yeah.
And then they were like cool enough to say, okay, how do you want to sort of play around with the format?
Yeah.
What do you want to do? And I said, let me do what I am comfortable doing and what I can create. Let me sit down and write my own lines and stuff. And they were open to it. And that's how I think it worked for me and for the show also.
Yeah. No, 100%. What was it like to... like become famous at like 26, 27. Like, because I'm sure when you were going out at that time, everyone's just like, hey, you're...
It happened very, very late. Okay. It didn't happen right away. Mm. Also, one, it was a kids show. So, you know, a lot of kids were watching it and their parents probably and grandparents.
So like at the mall, like if each time you went to the mall, like...
I didn't go to the mall that often, yeah. You know, like either I was busy planning the show, shooting, because it did take a lot of time to... And then when I was done, I was hanging with friends, you know, we were either chilling, planning, watching movies, drinking, you know, like that.
Yeah.
So I wasn't going out to the mall or, but slowly it happened. I used to live in Bandra at that time. So when I would come back and the kids were playing and they would look at me and go, Pogo. Not like Rob, man, Pogo.
Mm.
Then I used to nod and go. And then slowly it picked up and a lot of college students started watching it. And
they grew up, like kids. Yeah.
No, also I guess people... soon like discovered
like
there is this school art show that is happening or it's on air, because it was targeted towards kids, but all the things that I was doing on the show I made sure was not just for a 6-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a bigger like a 16-year-old also could do it and a 60-year-old also could do it. It was like that. It was just breaking it down, dissecting it to the simplest form, but you could apply it to doing bigger projects as well. It was like that. But yeah, the first time I think I realized that the show is doing well is I was doing some promotional stuff in Chennai. And after the event, not even after the event, like when I went on stage, everyone was like, Rob, like from 6-year-olds to like 16-year-olds. And I was like, whoa, everyone knows my name. Like I came out and my car couldn't leave the venue. Like everyone had surrounded the car because that was not selfies, no?
Yeah.
Everyone had like a little...
Autograph book.
An autograph, So everyone was standing and like hitting on the glass like that. I was like, what? This is for me. I was like, shit.
You don't know what to write about it. Like, oh man, that's so cool though.
Crazy. And then there was like no stopping. Like anywhere I went, whether I was in Sri Lanka or Maldives or Pakistan or London, I always met people who had seen the show.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's more now? Because like since the kids who watched you then, like now they're at a more...
Now you're running into them.
Yeah, now you're running into them.
Yeah.
And they'll come and actually, they have the way to approach you.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I think earlier maybe people might have been a little more shy.
Yeah. Because
you're at that age.
Correct. Correct. And also they can connect with them, and I do connect with a lot of people, like on social media, obviously. Like earlier we couldn't do that, right? Like you would get fan mail, but there was no way to respond back. And that also I would get like after a month or so, you know, once a season is out, a few episodes are out and the fan mail is coming in, they would collect it, and then I would get like a box, like a carton or two. And then I'll sit down and read all the letters and stuff. But there was no way to respond back.
Those were
but
the now DMs it's instant.
Couldn't really respond to
the folder that I've never opened.
Do you but, have them stored somewhere?
Oh, of course, yeah. Nice. A lot of them. And I used to really enjoy and cherish, man. Like, I would sit down like and like spend a whole day just going through those letters. And they were from like kids. They were from like parents. They were from like grandmothers, from students in like hostels. And they would say like, oh, it's so great that on Sundays we watch. And then earlier it used to be we go play football, whatever. But now a lot of us like sit down and we make the stuff. Mm. And our art teachers are also doing stuff that you are showing. That happens even now. Yeah. Like people send me like most of my stuff, like the art teachers pick up and then they're doing. So, like my niece and nephews, they act very cool. Like when the art teacher is showing, he's like, oh, so you're showing Rob stuff, no? Like, yeah, I know him.
I know him.
But yeah, so now because I connect with a lot of people on social media, like if I post I'm coming for like the summit, and they'll be like, oh, let's meet, can we hang, whatever, and I respond to them, then automatically I know there are a few people. Yeah. Who know I'm coming, and I've already like interacted with them, and then there are many more who's, like who see what I'm doing on Instagram.
Like
now,
the feedback is instant, right? Instant, like before, I think you would do the show, and then you're just doing it and doing it. Then one day you get a call saying the TRP is like doing. Yeah, but you still don't see the
live results.
And that also, you know, it's a very strange sort of system, like of because they. Put like a device in your house that is, you know, like every time you switch the channel, you know, it's recording all of that data. And then, and they have put these boxes in hundreds and thousands of Indian households. And, you know, earlier it was still fine because everyone had one television set. So if you switch between Pogo to a cricket match, you would know. But now everyone has their own devices, more television sets in a same household, you know. But even at that time, you wouldn't know like, why the TRP of this episode was down. Whether there was a cricket match or whether there were exams or whether there was a special screening of a movie. Then they had to look at the data to say, oh, this movie was playing and that's why nobody was watching. Because if that movie is playing or cricket is playing, dad wants to watch that match.
Yes.
They won't allow the kid.
Correct.
You know, like that. But now social media and this digital... sort of like, you know, every time you put up a video, you see your views. If it's organic, I mean, if you're putting in money and all that is also. But you see, that's like a clear indication of what content is working or not.
Instant because feedback.
Instant feedback.
And otherwise, there's no competition now. Like,
there's no competition.
I mean, when it comes to, the competition is less than TV because TV, like I said, it's like happening at this one time. Maybe there's a rerun after that. But like, if you don't catch it, like you always have to choose what you're watching. Like either watching,
I mean, it's
Pogo.
More convenient now.
Yeah.
There's no appointment viewing anymore.
A video that's going to do well will do well. Yeah. It might do well after 3 years. But it'll still do well if the video is good and there's an audience for it.
But I do feel there's a lot more competition now, Because earlier not everyone had an opportunity to make a television show. Like I was lucky I got that opportunity. Yeah. But now everyone has like an equal opportunity. You want to start your own show. Yeah, you can. Whether it's on YouTube or Instagram, you just make your DIY videos, put it out there.
Yeah.
And you can build your own tribe. It's very easy. Yeah. And I have so many people, you know, like doing that. I was lucky that I was one early in the game. And two, I had my own sort of style, very distinct style of teaching, where I really simplified what I was doing. Even if it was the angle of the brush, I would talk about it, which a lot of people don't do because they're like, oh, I want to make a cool cinematic looking or funky looking 15 seconder. You don't focus on a lot of things, which I used to. So I even get a lot of messages from my followers or people who would be like, I have seen this video, this person has done it, but can you do it in your style on your page? Because I didn't understand what the fuck this guy is doing. You know, so I'm like, okay, let me just go through it. So if it's like a technique that is common, then I pick it up. But if it's like something that that person has done, then I don't like and touch it, because then you'll be like, hey, I'm just copying someone's idea. Unless I say, yeah, it's inspired by this guy, or I'm just trying to replicate it and make it more simpler. Yeah.
Mm.
Like that. But I feel the competition is there.
Yeah, it's there. It's just that, like, there is an audience for everyone if that's you're true. Doing something that's right. True. Like, yeah. Obviously, it won't be as big as Mad. Maybe. Mm. Like, it's very difficult to get those numbers on digital. But still, like, you find your own community, you find your own, and it's become easier to, like, monetize it directly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, your people are still making money. At your, during your time, you have to land a good job.
Correct.
And, like, your job, there was only one of it.
Correct.
Yeah. It was now, the first of its kind.
Now you can make videos, you make money off YouTube, you get brands involved. There's so many things you can do. Workshops or, like, courses. But, like, at that time, though, what was it like to make a lot of money when you were like,
yeah, that was one of the deciding factors, you know? Like, I remember when I said yes, they called me to the office and they said, how much money do you want? Like, I don't know, like, how much money someone makes in office. In this space, or like being in front of the camera. I had no idea. I didn't know anyone who was doing, like you said, no, there was no job like that.
Yeah.
So there was no reference sort of point. Like, I could call a friend and say, "Bata na yaar, bro, tere bhai ko ya tere ko kitna paisa mil raha na." So I said, "I don't know." So I remember, like, the guy who was across the table, like, who was handling all of this, he said, "Okay, I'm gonna write a number here," and he said, "I'll cover it."
Stop.
He said, "I'll write a number, I'll cover it, and I'll ask you if you say the number bigger than this, I'll still give you this. But even if you say a number smaller than this, I'll give you this. So let's see how close you land." Obviously, what I was thinking was a way smaller number to what he gave. No, because I was so fresh out of college.
Right.
And working with the animation studio, I wasn't getting, like, tons of money. Yeah. Like, my salary was, like, very basic. But being on camera obviously has its perks.
Yeah.
So the number they had written was a very decent number. It wasn't... It was big at that time from what I was getting.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like a crazy number. Yeah. But it was big.
Is it still a big number? Like today, if that was someone's salary, or it's not?
For some people, yeah, it would be. But the kind of money people are making on social media now from a small deal also, it was a small number.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was still big for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And plus, getting like that kind of money every month, it was also saving up to a bigger sort of chunk. So then there was no like, or if you're going to this place and it's expensive, so this is how much we can drink, or this is how much we can eat, or if you're planning a holiday, you know, this is what we can do. Then it was like, I'll book your ticket also, come. You can't say, no, we're planning Goa, I'll book your ticket also. It was like that. So it definitely gave you a lot of freedom, and it was nice to have that kind of money at that young age. But I was quite wise and responsible. In my spends.
You didn't go all out with
you
didn't
spend on like stupid shit.
I did. I did. Because I was young, but I knew where to stop after a point. Like,
what was the first thing you bought that you were like, I really wanted this?
I didn't buy anything big. I don't think. It was mainly spent on bigger get-togethers with friends. Or
spending it on friends.
Friends,
like you'd throw parties or like get people together. Like,
buying that tickets. Makes you feel happy.
Taking like, you go to a place and you throw a little party and it's you put your card.
I've got it covered.
So it was that. Or like I said, planning a holiday and saying, okay, I'll buy. Or not big gifts, but like, if I know a friend loves music and wants a new guitar, so just like buy. You know, all of that. My biggest spend, or like what I was saving for, was a house. So I knew, okay, I need to spend this much, I need to save this much because I want to buy. So I think my first like big thing that I bought was my house. Then even before I bought the car, I bought the house. Like, I was like, car is fine. Like, I had a bike, so I was like, it's okay, I don't need a car and all right now. Sometimes it was a little embarrassing also. Like, I remember the first season when I went out, I didn't have a bike also then. I was traveling by train. So people would recognize me on the train. I'm like, from that show.
I'm actually going to work.
Then they're looking at me like, TV show pe aata aur train mein ja rahe
the.
We
were talking earlier and you moved to Goa like in the prime of your career. Like, why?
Because I was quite done.
When was this?
It wasn't completely at the prime of my life because I left TV and I'd already started. I left TV because I was like, you know, I don't want to do television anymore. Also because with the channel, I had done so many episodes that they had such a huge bank.
Mm.
That we were doing a lot of reruns. And even when I was planning a new season or a new special, it was like, let's do 50% of the old stuff and then 50% of, or let's do 80% of the old stuff and just shoot new links and do few things so that it looks like a new episode.
Mm.
And the way we shot, like I said, you know, we had such an amazing team of people that it didn't look dated. So even if I was playing something that was shot like 6 years ago, it was still looking like fresh.
Mm.
And my look also was such that it didn't change a lot over the years. So we were doing stuff like that, which didn't feel exciting to me after a point. And for the channel also, they were like, "Ha, theek hai, abhi bahut paisa bana liya isse." So they were also not investing too much money into the show and stuff. So we mutually agreed that let's part ways.
Right.
And I also realized that everyone was moving to digital because I started in 2004 and I left, I think, in 2012 or 13.
Oh, yeah, YouTube had become
big.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay.
Not in India yet, though. India, it was still like people were starting.
Yeah, yeah. Like the comedians were big.
Yeah, you know? That was the first.
But the first when I went for like the first two fan fests, we had like Lily Singh and all those people, and they were like regular people who had made it big on YouTube, but they were like creators having their own space, their own page, platform, channel. To me, that was like, yeah, if they can do it, I already know how to do all this. Like I was doing it on TV, I can definitely do it on YouTube.
So
I'll start my own channel. And I started YouTube, and when I realized that this is something that I can do from anywhere.
Right.
I don't need to do this from Bombay. I can do this from Goa. So I was like, yeah, let's move to Goa. Though people advised me not to do that because they said you will lose out on a lot of work. You know, there are more opportunities here. You know, Goa is so slow, so laid back. Even in terms of like just setting up a studio, internet, all those things will be difficult. But I was quite done with like, you know, the hustle and bustle of a big city.
Yeah.
I was like, it's okay. I want to slow down a bit. I'll just focus on what I enjoy doing. For me, this number game and money game is not like, that's not my focus.
Well, you were born in Bombay?
No, in Delhi.
Delhi.
I grew up in Delhi. I did my college in Delhi. And as soon as I finished my college, I did applied art. So I was into advertising. Didn't enjoy advertising so much. I figured out at that time there was a company making video games, very simple, basic animation, Flash and stuff. So I joined that and I started doing that. It was great, but I realized I don't know animation so well. I can just draw well and I can animate, but I need to study animation. That's when I joined NID and did an animation and filmmaking course. And then I moved to Bombay. So I moved to Bombay, I think in 2003 or early 2003, I think, or early 2004, because the show went on air in 2004 or 5, I think. So that's when I moved, and yeah, I was here for almost 14 years, 14 years. Yeah. And then I moved.
So you just moved to
Or 7 years, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the, like, we moved to Mumbai like 8 months ago.
8 months ago, yeah.
Same reason, like you come here, there's a lot of work, there's like people are here. But 1 month in, I realized the goal is to move out of Mumbai eventually. Like people come in here, they're like, oh, I'm here for the rest of my life. That, I don't want that at all. Like I don't want my family to
grow up here.
I don't want to raise a family in Mumbai.
Yeah, same.
You know, that's just like, I don't think it's a good place for a family.
Yeah, yeah, same, same.
Even my parents, when like they want to come here if they're visiting for a month, I tell them, you know what, like come stay with me for a week, then I'll put you up in Goa. Or like Goa or like even Pune. Like Pune is such a much better place to like raise a family or just
correct.
Like,
it's so agree, peaceful. I agree. Even my parents were like, we don't want to live in Bombay. even though I said I'll get you a place, you know, if you don't want to live with me, I can get you your own place. They said, no, we don't want to move.
Yeah.
Mm.
They were very happy in Delhi. Also because they felt like there was more space, mm-hmm. you know, like
yeah.
they know people there. And Bombay is very busy, you know, like
yeah.
everyone is always on the go.
It's good for us. I mean, it's good for
yeah,
us.
When you're like, younger, obviously.
Yeah, when you're younger, it's
like
nice.
you have all the time and you can spend all of that time working. Because like when we were in Pune, we would be doing work, but most of the time we're just not doing anything.
Mm.
Also, yeah. everything changes, man. Like when you're young, you know, the places you go to, you yeah. will see people of your age, you know, you can hang with them.
Yeah.
And slowly those places will change. Then you'll pick other spots where there are people of your age.
Again.
If you go to that same place, like when I go to Toto's now, it's a completely different crowd.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, yeah.
You know, so you don't feel, you know, it's the same anymore. Then you start doing a lot of house scene, like house parties yeah. and everyone wants to come. Also with like work and stuff, everyone gets like free much later and then yeah. they don't want to go to a noisy place where they don't have too many people.
Yeah.
They know. So when the scene changes like that, they're like, why am I doing this house party, being in yeah. the house and going to a studio? Might as well be in a place yeah. that gives me more freedom to move around.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't raise a family in Bombay. Yeah. Like, even like where I used to stay, I still have the house. It was great. I had all the amenities of the park and a pool and everything. But still, like, the kids, if the older kids are playing in the park, you know, the younger ones don't have yeah. a place. They are playing cricket in the parking lot.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, or they're playing in the other, whatever,
yeah.
Buildings, park, mm. or. So, like, they don't have space like that.
What are your days like in Goa now? Like, what do you do?
It's chill, like, it's very flexible. Depends on the kind of work or projects I have. But it's mostly, like, chill only. Like, I get up, in the morning, I sit out. It's very peaceful. One of my morning stories on Instagram are birds. We're like, yeah, <"Kya> But that's how my day starts. It's pretty peaceful.
Mm.
Sitting outside, I have my coffee and stuff. And the day starts, I check like what work needs to be done. Then the studio is there only. I've built a different studio space, but I just go, get ready, go. And if I have my concepts in place, then I start filming on whatever brief I have. And shoot till evening. I try and finish work before sunset. If it's not over, I shut shop for a while. I drive to the beach, go chill at the beach for some time. If I can, go for a swim. Mm. Or like I ride. Earlier it was easier because I was staying in a village. So the roads were like the typical villagey yeah. roads, you know, like winding mm. roads. So it was nicer to take out the bike or a bicycle and ride. The maximum traffic that I used to get was a snake crossing or a yeah. pig, you know, or like some buffaloes yeah. that are stopping you from moving ahead. Now I moved a little closer to the city, so I do get traffic and stuff. So yeah, taking out the bike or a bicycle, I have to go, unless I am really in the mood. Yeah, but in the evening, I step out and then I come back, finish work and end the day with like a movie or podcast or like some series or
yeah.
whatever. And
sounds
then
like sounds like a life, man. Sounds
yeah.
like a life.
Yeah, it is. I'm very happy and very content with it's a little laid back, but it's fine.
I mean, you've put in in Bombay, jo 14 saal.
Haan, I mean, it's good to...
Abhi bhi kar sakta hai. Aisa nahi hai. You know, I've retired.
Kar sakta hai, but like...
There's no need to.
Yeah. To decide, like, you know what, I've done enough. Like, I'm living a good life. Like, I could stay here and just grind and grind and grind. But then next thing you know, you're like... You're old and
true,
you're like...
True, man. Like, and what's the point? Because after the point, you're like... Abhi mere ko relax karna hai, but you're like, abhi ho gaya hai, abhi kidhar.
Yeah.
You know, if you do it when you're younger, it's better.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, so that's what I also felt. So now I have more time to myself. You know, if I want to take a holiday, it's not like 10 projects lined up. Bombay mein ye hota tha. Like every time I would step out, I would end up meeting people.
Yeah.
Even like a normal social
gathering.
You know, do, like you would end up meeting people. It's like, hey, you used to make the television show. Listen, we have like a really
cool, an idea for you.
Yeah, let's meet. And a lot of times those ideas work out.
And then
yeah. You're like, yeah. Because
you can't say no to like, there's correct. Money coming.
There's money,
like,
then yeah. Just like building a relationship yeah. And mm-hmm. That association. And if you say no, after a few weeks, you will see someone that you know is doing that project and like,
I should have done it.
So that pressure is not there.
Yeah.
You know, in Goa, it's not like there are less social obligations anyways. Matlab, yeah. And I'm in South Goa. Most people that have moved from here are in North Goa. So even if there is something happening, no, like a get together, a meet, an opening, an exhibition, it's happening in North, which is like an hour and a half for yeah. me or two. So anyone who calls me, I'll say, bhai, 2 ghanta lagega ya, 1.5 ghanta. It's like, oh, okay, then we'll meet next time. So like,
peace. Off the hook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are some things you like to do other than art? Like, other than art and craft?
This only, man. Like, I'll spend a lot of time with my family, travel, holidays, ride my bike.
You have like a bike collection or something?
No. Like I said, I'm very wise with my money.
That one bike only you got from
that bike was. So I had a bike, I gave to my brother. But the bike I had in Bombay before I got my bike, because that time my younger brother was still in Delhi, yeah. So he used to ride my bike. And then he moved with me, so I got my bike also. But that bike was a friend's bike. It was an old Shogun. Okay, when I used to ride, the sound it used to make, no, was like of a super bike. So you would hear like, whoa, would turn around. Like that, okay? But if you see me riding it, it went like that. It was so fucking slow. It was embarrassing. It made such a loud sound. And if you would hear it, no, people would turn and look like, oh, some super bike is coming. And I'm going
slowly. Slowly. Yeah.
Slowly. Damn embarrassing. But chal raha tha kaam usse to I was like, okay, before you take it back, mera kaam chal raha hai. He never took it back. He said, mere ko bhi nahi chahiye yaar isko. Wahin pe khada rehne de aur jaane de.
Must have been difficult to like, because yeah, at the time, like bikes were the thing. I think yeah. Doom had come out, like Doom and
a charisma.
It was so like if you had a bike, like that's how you get a girl. Like I have a nice bike, yeah. And like you grow your hair out.
Yeah, he was already halfway there. Long hair.
Yeah, so like when I was in Delhi, like winter time was like this only. Yeah. Like I had long hair.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay, and then winter was cold. Bombay, you don't get it. So I was wearing like a trench coat, and also it was one of those like Matrix or Mission Impossible. Yeah. Trench coat is flying behind your hair. Then you see a cop and quickly wear a helmet. Then you take it off again. It was cool. But yeah, Bombay wasn't like that. No. I have a not the same bike. I have a different bike. But I don't have a collection. Like yeah. I'm not like that.
But was it like we mentioned, it was the key to getting girls was a bike. How easy was it for you, like, once you became a TV star?
It was, I did get a lot of attention. Also, like, I am like a typical artist here. I was, like I said, I'm the life of the party when I'm around my friends. But if you take me to like a usual, like, get together where there are like 20 people also, I'll be in the corner doing my own thing, sipping on my drink and just very quiet. I don't like big parties and stuff.
We saw that night.
Yeah.
Like I came to you and like we got into this intense conversation. It's like, you should do this, I should do this.
Yeah,
like, let's do it. Now, shots.
true. Yeah, and if I feel the vibe, like I was hanging with you and I was hanging with a few other people, but I don't. Like there were so many people there that I know from like, you know, spending time in the industry, but I usually don't like, that's why I don't even have too many friends from the industry. Like I still have my core group. So yeah, it became easy, you know, because then I didn't have to approach.
Yeah.
Automatically people came to you. So I did get a lot of attention, which was cool, which I didn't know would happen. So yeah, so I was enjoying that attention.
Did you enjoy it?
We all enjoy attention. Who doesn't enjoy attention?
He's a married man now.
Now I'm a married man.
Now it's different.
Yeah.
Now it's different.
What is that like? Well, how long have you been married for?
I got married in 2015. Mm-hmm. It's been a while.
Almost 10 years.
Were you in a relationship for a long time?
Before? Yeah, we dated for very long.
Okay.
But I met her like this only at a party. Yeah, and we were chilling and I met her and the same vibe. So we started hanging and initially it was just hanging and spending time. Like how, like, you become part of your friend circle, like you know people and then they just join the circle. It was kind of like that. But then we enjoyed each other's vibe a lot. So we started spending more time with each other. Then we started holidaying together. And I was like, okay, I'm planning to go to Sri Lanka. I was just backpacking. Are you coming? Yeah, I'm coming. It was like that. And pick up a bike and ride along. So it was like that. And then finally we decided that we should get married.
That's
And then we got married,
It's so cool that you became friends first.
Yeah.
Like we're really good friends now. Let's explore this other dimension to this for our friendship.
And even when we got married, it didn't change a whole lot. Besides the fact that she started living with me and she used to spend a lot of time at my place earlier also. But I didn't change a whole lot. Like I had to give a major chunk of my wardrobe to her.
That changed.
That I didn't have space for my clothes.
It starts like that. It's like one T-shirt.
Yeah. But when they're living with you, they have so many clothes, you know. Like summer outfits, winter outfits, whatever.
No, I'm saying they start from before only. Before
taking
they
start
planting the seed, bro.
That also happens.
It's like, anyway, I'm coming here tomorrow. I'll leave this here. Yeah. Next thing you know, you have like a stack.
And sometimes I used to go to her place when we were dating. And if I'm going through like, oh, I want to wear something. And I would find my T-shirt.
Yeah. And like, when did you take this?
Yeah.
It's always a nice surprise to see a T-shirt that has disappeared.
Yeah.
Yeah, but after marriage, it's like having like a roommate, you know. But it's cool, like a companion, a roommate. Like, it's nice, to have someone, you know, whenever you come back from work or just on a low day, you always have that one person. Or when you're planning a holiday, like, you know, your friends sometimes are like, nahin ja sakte bro, kaam hai, they back out, they cancel on you, and this person won't cancel on you, you know, it's like that. So it's better to plan a life with someone who is always there.
Was there any point in your life where you were like, okay, I know I'm like, this is it. Like, I want to, like, how do you know? How do you make that decision?
To get married?
Or is it just like is it like over time you're like, okay?
Yeah, I guess it's also, see, I was pretty clear on certain things that I wanted from life, I wanted to do in life, like get a house, get a car, you know. I wanted to do all that before I got married.
Right.
So when all that was taken care of and I was dating someone who is so wonderful and I really loved, then I was like, okay, abhi toh matlab itne saal date bhi kar liya and we're doing exactly the same things, you know, we're holidaying together, spending time together, your friend circle is mine, like my friends are your friends. Toh abhi kya matlab major change kya aane wala
hai? Yeah.
So let's do this. And also, like, then we wanted to start a family, you know, then. So I was like, that we can't do. I mean, you can, but
you can,
like,
but
let's
like,
move to the next phase and then we can think about that. So we had it, in fact, discussed that, but we were sort of just pushing it a little ki, chalo, next year we'll plan this. And because when you're young, you know, it is a big decision. But also, like, it's like when you get parents involved, you know, like, how big a wedding do you want? Who do you want to invite? Where do you want the wedding to be? Like, will the people come there? Or so all of that. It's like a long discussion. So sometimes you don't want to get into that, like, because you're doing other fun stuff. And then finally you were like, Abhi, we have to sit down and discuss all of that. So then one fine day we sat down and we discussed and we said, okay, haan, theek hai. And then we did.
Yeah, marriage is when like families get involved and like friends get involved. So
that's
not just
it's
not just the two of of you anymore. It's like
you're
a lot of people involved.
Person,
you marry her
family,
her friends, like everyone.
Yeah.
Well, it's important, no, for the families to also like get along.
So we did all of that. Like the family knew each other. I knew her family. We used to go to. She is from Goa.
Okay.
Nice. Okay.
So I used to travel to Goa a lot. So I used to meet the family, spend time with them, with her friends, with her family, all of that. Like my father-in-law is, or like Sundays and all, like, so Saturdays I go out, hang with my friends, drink till late, like whatever. And then Sundays I usually like, I will wake up late and sometimes you have like a little hangover or, And then you go sit with him. And then he's like, what are you drinking? I'm like, oh man, like I already have a hangover from last night. Okay, you'll start with the beer then. So I'm like, no, not right now. I have Fenny then. So, you know, it's like that. But yeah, so it was fun, you know, spending time with family also. And it's still the same. My days, Sundays are like that. Sundays we spend with her parents.
So it's like a ritual.
Yeah. Sunday lunch we have with them. We're there till evening. And
like Goan food.
Yeah, yeah. Even at my place, we cook a lot of Goan food.
Goan food is too good. Like every time I come to Goa, I love just eating. I don't go there to drink because I feel drinking over there is just so overrated.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
true.
Everyone is just trying to get drunk and party.
There's a lot of good food.
There's a lot of good food in Goa.
Like, I feel the best thing you can do there is obviously the partying and the whatever raves and all that are there. But like, just if you're there for a week and you wake up, you know, you'll get good breakfast.
True.
You get good lunch. Like, I'm just looking forward to my meals there.
I agree. And for me, like, so my maternal side, like my grandmother, you know, like we have roots in Goa. So at home, my mom and my grandmom used to speak Konkani. I never picked it up. But even living in Delhi, like my lunch used to be like fish curry, rice, you know, like, or even if I'm having dal rice or whatever, there would be like some dried fish and things like that. Which I didn't know. I thought like, okay, haan, maybe this is like a regular thing. Then over time, I realized this is so Goan. Like, you know, in Goa, like my in-laws and all, they want a fish curry. Like, even if there is more stuff, they need to have. Like, that staple. Like, fish curry rice has to be there. And so I was exposed to that food, which my friends and all like hated because a lot of times when they came home after school and all this like fish smell. And you're not like used to, like now in Bombay or Goa, you get that smell everywhere.
Yeah, you're used to.
But in Delhi, like they were like, what the hell is this? Like someone died.
I hate fish. Like I can't eat fish. Every time I eat it, I start gagging or I'll throw up immediately.
Oh yeah?
But I love prawns. I have no idea how that works.
Prawns, squid.
It's just...
Yeah, there's a lot of people who don't like fish.
Same. I can't eat seafood.
Oh yeah,
nothing. Don't like it. No.
Nothing.
That's in the ocean.
No.
Damn, bro.
I don't like the texture. I don't like the way when I'm chewing it. I don't like the way it feels.
Like somebody has chewed it and placed it.
Now you have it. And now you have it. It actually is like that.
Yeah,
it's so good.
Not
though.
my favorite thing in the world.
Do you have any like favorite spots in Goa?
Yeah. Next time you guys are down.
See, I've never been to Goa, so.
But
I need
also,
like
I don't
want to.
We won't
talk about
socialize that.
Okay. Tell us, like, off.
No, when we come, I'll take you.
Yeah, I would love that.
Because, like, some of the best spots are just like, you think it'll be a restaurant, but it's just
like
some auntie cooking food.
Like a really small place.
Like a Naba types, yeah.
Yeah, they are like that. So there are many that have really amazing local food and drinks. So I'll take you and I'll make you try some dishes, like some fish and all that you will enjoy.
Done.
Even if you don't.
Done. I'm going to trust Rob, man. Yes. Go on, like, of course.
Yes. I won't lie to you.
What other places have you traveled to that you were just like, maybe, like people don't know about it? Like you said, Sri Lanka.
Yeah, because that's
like
not
a
common
people,
place.
I mean, they do, but like it's not as common.
Yeah, Sri Lanka was beautiful, man. Sri Lanka was amazing. I went there
like Colombo or like
I landed in Colombo, but I went towards the south, like Hikkaduwa and Gaul, Mirisa.
So these are like islands or
no, these are the beaches.
Okay.
You go. It's like how you have your Anjuna Baga.
Right,
so we did the whole belt. I took a bike and it's beautiful because the water is like, you know, blue, like that emerald, like your Thailand or like Andamans or. And you get a lot of fish, like a lot of turtles. There are a lot of turtle hatcheries and stuff. Food is amazing. People are also really nice. And also they have backwaters where they have like crocodiles and stuff. So you can do all of that. Certain beaches are like all, like people surf there a lot. So if you go to Mirisa and all, then the whole like the crowd there is just young people partying and drinking and surfing. So very cool vibe. So I enjoyed a lot. And I also went diving. So I had put myself up at a diving institute. So we were staying there. So in the mornings, I would go for a dive. And if I were also doing an afternoon dive, then that day was just dedicated to diving. But other days, I would just go out and hang different places, drink, ride. I took a train ride, which people were amazed because it went to certain areas that typically people don't go because of earlier they had like, you know, like it's also a sort of war-torn country. So people get scared because there are old houses with like bullet holes and things like that. Yeah. I said, why did you go to that area? You know, but it was all peaceful. It was very nice. I met a lot of fans. There was a huge fan following there also.
Do they like air the show over there?
Yeah. So I met and I didn't understand the language. So one guy kept saying, hey, hero, hero, hero. Like me, no. Then one guy who knew English, he came and explained to me. And I think they also have some hero TV or hero channel like Pogo.
Okay.
So I don't know if the show aired on that channel or maybe he was saying hero because that guy also couldn't explain it to me properly in his broken English. But
they
he said...
Yeah. Tamil there.
They speak Tamil there, yeah.
Yeah. And also, they have a, I think, dialect, a local dialect, Tamil, yeah.
Okay.
Which I didn't understand. And this was at a, what do you call it, yeah? Like an elephant, not an orphanage, what's the word?
I know what you're talking about.
At Pinawala.
Like they have many elephants
over there. Yeah, they have rescued and, there, you know, once. You can feed them you can and feed you can spend time with them and you can... Whatever, give a. You can go on
feed
elephant
them milk
and
all.
Yeah, and bathe them and you know all of that.
It's actually
it's crazy. You know when the baby elephants come,
they're damn cute.
The bottle is gigantic. Like, yeah, so huge, like an enormous thing that you have to put in his mouth.
You put it in his mouth and he'll sit.
Yeah,
it.
And it's heavy, you know. So if you're pulling it away, one trunk will come and grab your arm and pull it back. It's so like hold it, bitch. Like, yeah.
Elephants are too sweet, bro.
Yeah, they seem like fun animals.
Yeah.
They can
kind
of fuck you up, though, yeah, elephants.
Mean, most animals can.
They can. They're gentle giants.
Yeah. Gentle giants.
That's but it's very strange when you sit on an elephant, no? Yeah. First of all, you don't realize, like, how big an elephant is. And when you're sitting, how wide your legs, you know, how...
are supposed to go, yeah.
Yeah. So suddenly it's like a stretch, you know? Like, fuck, man, I didn't realize it'll be this wide. You're on a bike and all, you're just sitting, it's not like, you're not really stretching.
Even, like, camels are pretty, like...
Yeah, thin. But the elephant is another. And plus they have, like, hair, which is like needles, man.
Okay.
So if you're wearing shorts and all, it starts poking you.
Mm.
So, and the skin texture is very rough. But yeah, they're very gentle. Like, if you are not... like doing anything like I had fun also I really enjoyed in India like Andamans is my favorite like place to be and Leh like pulls apart but the mountains and the sea
there's too many spots in India only like
now
we started making some money so we are think like every time we start thinking about traveling I'm like we're like, oh, here, there. But then within India only, there's so many places that you need to like
check off.
And then you can maybe, because like, he's never been to Goa, like he said.
What?
Yeah.
So I'm like, at least let's do a Goa trip.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's
soon.
Do that first. Then we'll
Soon, for sure.
Like, how can you go to Thailand or
before like it becomes Bombay or Bangalore?
Yeah, but I feel like Goa has been built up for me by so many of my friends. Everyone talking about Goa. So it's become this fantasy land in my head. So now I know it's probably not what I think it is, but I still want to go. I still want to see what
so
that is like.
So it's one of those places that no matter how much people hype it, it won't be like overhyped because
I'll never disappoint you.
Because you feel things when you're there. Yeah. It's not just about
the air
the
itself
place.
Is very different.
I'd like to start feeling things, man.
And the best part about Goa is like you're riding a bike and you're going like from Anjuna, Vagator, and then suddenly you realize that these are different cities I'm entering.
Yeah.
It's a state that you're in. Mm-hmm. But everything is so close, at least in the north.
It's beautiful.
Man, I can't wait. Like, whenever that day comes, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not
thinking of doing
it. But even like other places in India, like how I mentioned Andamans, it's very important to visit before you start planning international holidays. Yeah, I think it's important because a lot of people are discovering these places now and more people are traveling and the places are changing. Like, you know, like Andamans is not so untouched or pristine anymore.
Yeah.
Like, the first time I went, there was nothing, man.
Yeah.
like few places that you could stay. They had like really tiny small markets, small shops.
It was kind of scary. Like I went 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And there's like, nothing to do. Like nothing. At least back then there was
no
nothing.
Internet also.
There was nothing, yeah.
And the next time I went, there was like a supermarket. You know, the first time I remember, I was packing like my slippers, my floaters, whatever, them wet. So I was like, oh, let me just go. I walked down to a shop and I said, you have like old newspaper and all. And the guy said, we only get, he gave me a number, I forgot now, like some 23 newspapers we get from the Jet Airways flight that comes. So they give us the newspapers and this whatever set goes to one school, then two newspapers go to whatever. And I'm like, what? They said, yeah, because there's no newspaper there. Yeah. They said, nobody comes here to deliver.
Yeah.
When the flight comes, like they are done with their day, so they give us the newspaper.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, so like, I'm definitely not giving you to wrap your slippers.
So you're always reading news from 2 days ago, because probably, the news is already from yesterday.
You know, there's a funny story that when India got its freedom and then, you know, Andaman people didn't know. Like
till so, 2 days later.
No, like not one guy too. Went after many years, like some politician or whatever, and they like hoisted a Union Jack flag. So they're like, "Ho gaya, bro, ye hata."
India got outdated.
So it's like that. But now there is everything, man. There are like resorts there. Mm. More islands are opening up, and the main islands, they are like, there were a couple of beaches that I took my friends, and there was no one there. Like you said, it's scary. Like it's empty. But when we went this time, they have like one of those boards, no? Welcome to Kala Pathar Beach. And I was like, what the hell happened here? And they said, you said this is like one untouched one. I said, yeah, it was.
It was.
Yeah.
So before it changes, I think it's important to at least cover India. Because most of the other places, European places, they are like
they've been
already
there.
Developed and they will be there for a while.
Even when it comes to other countries, like I'm so much more curious to go to like a Philippines or like a
Japan.
Japan is still, like you kind of know what it's like, but like maybe like a Kazakhstan. Yeah. I don't know what to expect there.
True.
Like, let's go see what's happening.
Before it's something else.
I mean, places that are safe, obviously.
Relatively.
But even places that are, like people say are unsafe, like I'm very curious to go to like an Afghanistan and see like what is happening. Like, because I've heard it's one of the most beautiful countries there is. So like, you don't want to miss out on that just because you know, people tell you that don't go here.
And I don't think I ever had excuse me, I don't think I ever had a bad experience anywhere. So even if people say, like even Sri Lanka, when I was saying, people said, "Arey, you have to be careful, people this that, udhar nahi jana, idhar nahi jana." I went everywhere. And so most places, you know, even if people say that there are stories, could be a personal experience or could be like, I mean, you have to obviously be careful, but I'm just saying that I never had any bad experience, so to speak.
Right.
So it's important to explore everything is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, you have to maybe have someone who's there, who's taking care of you, telling you go here, go there.
No, I never had.
But like, again, we've also heard stories.
Now you had internet, You have. We didn't have internet when we were doing all of this. It was like maps or suggestions.
Yeah. Or like people, you have to ask people around.
Ask people who don't speak your language also, and then you have to do actions.
Yeah. That's when you feel very stupid. Like I was just having this conversation with someone that when there's a language barrier, like when we were in Bangalore, that like obviously now it's gotten a lot better. But there is a big language barrier when you have to suddenly try and just like talk keywords then with that person.
Yeah, exactly.
Saying 100 rupees, then you'll say 200, then you'll be 100. And it's just keywords. You just have to, you can't talk, you can't frame sentences.
Yeah. A lot of places, you know, like just explain like, oh, I need food, I need to drink.
Yeah.
You know, and then like my friend is saying, ask them where you can go party. Like, what do I do now? No party.
Like,
I don't know for them what party means. Like, if I do this, they'll think like some certain way.
Also, it's like, you don't want to, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I assume like most places, like maybe they don't like people from outside. Like Goa is different. The Goa, just the culture is people are, they're used to being hosts because they've been hosts since forever.
Yeah, like, but Goa also was open to like, because of the hippie trail.
Yeah.
They are fine with foreigners.
Yeah.
But Goa is not completely fine with Indian tourists.
Yeah.
Especially like people from Delhi, you know, or, but that is also like the stereotypical, you know, like there are a lot of people from Delhi who are loud and obnoxious, and you know, like they only want to have butter chicken all the time. And if you're serving something else, they'll be like, "Arey, bakwas." So that is there, and that's why people don't like them. But people, like even my whole friend circle, they make jokes about it, but they all know I'm from Delhi. But they're all like, "You are not like a regular Delhi person."
Yeah.
You know, so it really depends. So even places like in Goa, it's not like. When I go to places, till the time they don't know I'm from Delhi, they're like, "Ha!" Then they find out I'm in Delhi. Then they have to make this remark and say, "But you're not like the usual, so we are okay with you." So yeah, so if you are fine and you are not creating like a problem or a ruckus, then I don't think people will have any issues.
Yeah, I mean, when we were in Bangalore, like we've always been told that people don't like it when you don't speak like their language. Like if you speak in Hindi, even if it's an auto driver, they don't like it.
Yeah, yeah. Canada.
So then I'm already so insecure about how I'm behaving around them. I'm like, I don't want to upset this guy, or I don't want to get fucked over by someone, right? So then you're just treading lightly. You're like, okay. Then you're in this confused state of mind.
I think it's like if somebody comes to your house, and if you have a rule that you have to take off your shoes, and if that guy walks in with the shoes, then you're like, okay, you're already sort of disrespecting, but I'm okay with it. Now that person is also sitting on the sofa with the shoes or walking on your carpet, then you will have a problem.
Yeah, at what point do you exactly. say something?
So I think, like, you know, with this, like even in Goa, like a lot of times when cops stop you, if you start speaking in Hindi, they'll be like, from Delhi or something. And because there is that image, they will automatically treat you differently. But I am saying, like, if you can avoid that and speak in English, you know, it's fine. Or you don't break the law or create a problem that you don't feel the need to.
In Goa, you can speak a bit of Marathi also. They're still okay.
Yeah.
So we have that going for us. Like when we go there, it's like we try. Marathi is first, then English.
I'm fully armored, dude. And I can speak Kannada, I can speak Marathi, English. Oh, super. Whatever. I'm ready for it.
Just like now, thankfully, because of my wife and my grandmother and all, I can understand Konkani. So when they stop you and start speaking, I can't speak it. So they stop you, they'll start talking in Konkani, you know, to figure out whether you are a tourist or you're a local. Because I understand, then I just respond back like with a nod and like a word or two. Then they feel like, okay, look, let you go.
Fool them.
Yeah. Because earlier it was like, okay, I don't understand what the fuck he said. Then you have to respond back. And if you are maybe a drink down or something, then you have to be
like, you just learn sign language and just do that. So he knows that you can understand them, but you can't speak.
I saw a reel like that where somebody knocks on the door and they're talking about like God and whatever. And they say, "We want to talk about Jesus." And the person's, "You're deaf and dumb," he says. He says, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Have a good day." He said, "Thanks, you too."
Well, language is one of those things. Like, you can't connect with someone unless you both like know the same language, or even like your mother tongue. This is something I realized after moving to India and then visiting Iran. Like whenever I go back and I just walk into a store and start speaking in Farsi, like there is no feeling that ever matches that. Like speaking to someone in your mother tongue and just going around and speaking, like you don't get that. Before I used to, like when I used to live in Pune and a lot of people speak Marathi, and I would feel bad that, okay, all these people know that I don't speak that language. But they're still going out of their way to speak in this language. And like, they know I don't understand it. But then later I realized, okay, there is like, if you have the option of speaking in your mother tongue to someone, you would always choose that.
True, true. Like even like some of my friends who are still in Delhi, and if they're ever visiting me, with them I have to speak in Hindi. You know, because I grew up like that. You know, I used to speak the language. Otherwise, it's not the same vibe. When you are speaking in English, you know, it doesn't hit.
It doesn't hit the same.
Yeah. Especially when you're cussing.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. That is so funny because like when we play football, like if I'm like in football you cuss a lot. Like when you're frustrated or whatever. I always cuss in Farsi. when I'm playing, like in my moments of frustration, like it's always Farsi. But like if it's like normal, then whatever. It's like in any other language that we're talking.
True. Like it's funny. I remember like we used to play basketball, and we would have like a friend sitting, and they think, oh, you're from Delhi, or like two other people are playing. So if something happens, then if they are cursing and swearing, they'll use Hindi.
Yeah.
But their galis are like, hey, Bencho. Don't even try. Then the Delhi guys are like, there's no weight in it. So like,
Thoda feel.
It's not Bencho.
Yeah. Well, those words, like you can communicate feelings, and you can't communicate with any other like words.
You got all our emotions out over there.
Yeah.
Like if you call someone like stupid, like there's no way you can like make stupid feel like Bhenchot.
And do you know any Marathi abuses?
Clear distinction, no, like.
Yeah.
Between Bhenchod and like stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid mein abhi bhi usko lagega like haan.
Like I can get away with it.
Yeah, stupid.
I fucked up.
Yeah.
Bhenchod is like, you know, it's serious. You're like, oh fuck, I fucked up.
I feel like over time people have become like more accepting of like cuss words because it's become a part of culture. Now it's not like before where if you say it, it's like really bad.
Yeah.
Now it's like in music.
Words.
It's in music, in movies and TV shows. Yeah. It's become more relaxed where they're saying all these words. Like when you go to watch movies, they censor random words and like...
They'll censor words like shit. Yeah. And the very next word will be motherfucker. Like what? And fucker, they'll censor word motherfucker they won't.
Yeah. Censor word.
Yeah, true.
Did you guys have like any trouble with the censor board when you were doing the show? Like, was there ever anything that was asked to cut? Like,
no. But we had like our own process.
Okay.
Like we always said like round tip safety scissors instead of just scissors.
Yeah.
Safety scissors. Yeah, you kept saying
that
safety scissors.
Round tip safety scissors.
Not like so that kids don't buy sharp scissors and
or
cut
like
them.
Cut themselves. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, or like no using fire or, so we were always careful. So we did have like these guidelines in place. Yeah. So, and I mean, obviously certain words also that you can't use. So we were very careful, but sometimes it was very difficult to make them understand. Like if I'm cutting a metal sheet, I can't cut with safety scissors. Yeah. I said, I have to use pliers. Yeah. You can't use pliers. I said, how can I can't cut metal
safety
with scissors.
Plier.
Then they said, yes, another warning. And I said, yeah, please give a warning. But if we are making something out of metal, I'll have to use the tools that provide. Okay, fine.
I wonder if there are like behind the scenes bloopers of you like messing up a line and like cussing like Jackie Shroff. Jackie Shroff.
Like, did any kid ever like fuck something up of yours? Camera roll.
Yeah, there were moments like that, but it was all good. But yeah, like after a long day of shoot, if there are kids, you know, like they are so high energy.
Yeah.
And you want to just finish.
You just want to
like
go
just
home.
Just stand here, man. Like,
they're
walking around.
Kids are damn irritating, though.
Can you please ask the boy to come back and stand next to you? And then, like, up here. So, yeah, there were days. But I'm very good with kids. So I was like, okay, I'll show you a cool trick and all. Then I'll make like an eraser disappear. And I said, it'll appear here in like 2 minutes. Just keep looking here.
Yeah. That's standing. Why those kids, like some of them are just looking somewhere. The episodes, if you want, like you're doing this.
Some raw magic like in the back.
And some of the longer ones we have, like we used to, sometimes we used to do like these behind the scenes bloopers videos. There were also times when they would get like a family. They would invite them and the parents are shooting for some other segment and the kid is part of my... And they would have like a two-year-old.
Mm.
Now, we can't use a two-year-old for any of our segments. But the two-year-old wants to be with the elder sibling.
Yeah.
I said, no, usko to rakhna hi padega. Or like a four-year-old. So either like, in some like they are carrying the baby or like a four-year-old is sitting behind because if standing, it's smaller than the table. Yeah. So they put like a little platform or like a little podium of sorts and the kid is sitting on that. Now, shoots are not like they go for a longer duration. Yeah. No? They're not like, okay, if I'm doing a 1 minute thing, it'll get over in 1 minute. It's probably like a good half an hour long segment. the kid is sitting there and I'm making and I'm fully engrossed. The
kid is
and
asleep.
The director, yeah, is going, Rob, don't hold that kid. And the kid is going like that. Like, and then I'm like, whoa.
So they were like stoners. Too funny. Just doing something.
And they used to be like completely, like now obviously the kids are exposed to technology and tools. But back in the days, like when they used to come, we had a big set and our control room was far back. So the director would always be on the mic, no? Rob, we have to do this. We're just checking the light. So if you want to rest, you can rest. Or, okay, we are ready. Should we roll? Which camera are you looking at? You know, all that. So the kids standing there, they couldn't see. They could just hear. It's like, who's that? Is that God? I said, yes.
On direct. This show, yes.
Direct connection. And I said, you know, like, and God knows everything. I can... So on my, because I'm mic, no? So I'll say, just can you ask the parents about something the kid has done recently? And then they would ask and they say, so I'll tell you, like, you did something in school, right? I said, yes, I'll ask God. And then I say, can you please tell what he did in school? And then they say, you went and you did this and you broke. And the kid is like fully like, holy shit, like God knows.
Just traumatizing kids, dude.
Those kids are worshipping that guy. No one told them.
Those kids believe in God quiet.
Yes, they're fully quiet. And
all religious children now.
Yeah, shoots used to be fun, man.
What are you up to now? Like, what's next? What are you working on? Just...
So I spend a lot of time making digital content, working with brands, doing all that kind of work. But I'm also hoping, there are a couple of things that I have in mind. Like after I left TV, I wanted to start like a live show format, which when I was with Sony Music, we ended up creating called Imaginarium. Which was like a 90-minute show where all the things that you see me do on TV, like those big pictures or like that were happening live on stage. So, and there was like a full storyline and whatever, 90-minute. So that I did, and it was a really fun format because for me also it was a great break from just doing something where I'm talking to a black box, you know, with live audience, obviously it's a different high. Yeah. So I enjoyed that a lot. So I want to try and bring that back because we had to stop when the pandemic hit. So I want to try that again. Also, I want to set up like a physical space in Goa where people can come and actually make stuff, get their hands dirty. And a section of that, I want to have like a little gallery space or a exhibit of sort of my work because a lot of times I make bigger things. But after I'm done with shoot, I have to dismantle it because there's no storage space. So I thought if I can put it up somewhere where if people are coming, they can have a look. For me, it'll be also not just to exhibit, but also to store for a little while before I completely destroy it.
It's like your own museum.
And also like a space where there will be all sorts of tools that you can use and just build stuff. You know, whether it's wood, clay, printing, you know, things like that. Also, most people that come to Goa, they're like, abhi party kar liya, ye kar liya, kya karna hai? So I was like, you know, if I have a space like that, people will have another reason.
The workshop. It's like one of the activities that you can, it becomes a part of the itinerary.
And I really feel, like including me, we spend a lot of time on our screens. So I want to have a space where, you know, it takes you away from your screen and encourages people to use their hands, build stuff, make stuff. Because I feel that is very important and that is lacking now. You know, when you build stuff and make stuff, you know, it gives you a lot of, I don't know, there's a sense of sort of accomplishment, you know. You get some confidence, concentration, focus. It really helps you in your personal growth. So I want to create like a space like that.
It's therapeutic to some extent. Because you're so invested
and
in
that. Anyways, I feel like creative people are better at problem solving, man. You know, so that's why I encourage people to be more creative. Even if you do something really small, tiny.
Because that's you pick up a lot of skills while doing creative things. The main one being pattern recognition. Like you do things a bunch of times and you're like, okay, if you do this, this happens. And then you can apply it to so many different things.
Absolutely.
Which is something I'm grateful that we've picked up from content creation, where you become so good at seeing patterns. And then you can use that skill in a lot of places. Yeah.
You start thinking differently, you know, which is very,
thought
very
process
important.
Always changes after that.
That's important. So yeah, that is one.
Fun stuff, exciting.
Yeah.
Like, I hope like when we come to Goa, maybe in the next 2-3 years, this is set up. And
so we can do this next thing there.
We can It'll do it together.
Fun. And bro, like this was like one of those, like I said, this was one of the episodes that we really
cool
wanted
people
to
we
do.
Wanted to talk to.
Yeah, and it was just like, like I'll send my parents.
Yeah, exactly. Tell my mom and dad like this happened. Yeah, it'll be really fun.
Thanks,
thank
man.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much
really
for coming.
Amazing. Thanks for having me over. And this is true, man. Like another reason, like I've obviously when I started the show, over time when I got fan mail and I saw the kind of impact the show was making, I was excited and motivated to do more. But even these things, like, you know, parents used to come up to me and say, you're doing something good.
Yeah.
Grandparents used to come up to me and say, you know, you're bringing the grandchildren back to us. Because after a point, you know, for kids, it's like, grandparents are boring.
Yeah.
But they said, you know, we sit and watch your shows together and we build things together. So we do spend. And I didn't know that, you know, all this would happen.
It's very wholesome,
Yeah. So it's amazing. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for being so nice, because usually it's like you grow up watching someone and you meet them and they're a dick.
Thank you, Rob.
My pleasure. Cheers.
Let's go.
I will have another drink.
Let's go.